Hey, let's stay standing. I'll just continue in the vein of Alex. But I just want to declare this over us this morning before we get into the Word. And we can say stuff. We can think things, we can talk things, but the Word of God is truth. It is powerful. There is nothing that can stand against it. It will always prevail. It is not scared by the latest community opinion. It has survived through the ages, and it will always be there. And listen to what it says. It says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble? Anybody had trouble? Calamity? Or a persecuted, or a hungry, or a destitute, or in danger, or threatened with death? As the scripture says, for your sake, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. Who feels encouraged? But this was, sometimes we think we've got stuff going on. Sometimes we think our world's pretty full on. But this is the Apostle Paul saying, actually, this is what we've been facing. That you know, I've been shipwrecked. I have been put in jail. I have been beaten. I feel like I've been slaughtered. My co-workers have literally been killed. Does that mean that the love of God is not true? Does that mean that he no longer loves you? I believe there are people here this morning, and you've been through some stuff, and you think, well, God's not for me. He's for other people, but he's not for me because stuff's not working out for me. That's bad theology. That is wrong. You know, if stuff's not working out for you, it's got nothing to do with God's love for you. Stuff happens in the world. Sometimes stuff works out for us, sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes we are silly people and we do things that puts us outside of God being able to bless us. But it has no impact on how much God loves you, on what he sees for you and what he has for you. And then he goes on, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Jesus Christ who loves us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither fears for today or worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, come on, let's allow the Word of God to sink in this morning. Let's allow that. And I believe right now, before we start preaching, we're going to minister. And if you this morning, you need to actually step out of a situation and step into truth, why don't you just step out of your seat? And we're not going to take a long time to do this, but you step out of this seat and we are just going to declare the truth of the Word of God over your situation. So I believe there are people here this morning and you have got to step out of a situation and you've got to step into truth. And if that's you, just come forward. I believe there are people here this morning and you're struggling with stuff or it's just feeling like, oh, it's hard. Just come on. Let's just step into truth this morning. We're gonna pray and we're going to believe and we're going to declare the goodness of God. So come on, let's start to step into truth here this morning. Come on. The people, just come and step into truth. I just believe that's what God's been asking us to do here right now this morning. Couple more minutes. I just believe there are a couple more people here that you want to do that. There's a sense of stepping out of a situation into truth. And we're going to pray and we're going to declare and we're going to believe. Lord Jesus, right now I declare the Word of God over Dylan's life. that you are for him, that you are not against him, that his situation, his circumstances has nothing to do with your love for him. Lord, I pray that right now, from this day forward, he would walk in that truth, that there are things that he carries that would fall off him in the name of Jesus. And he would not be, he would not identify himself. He would not name himself out of what he's been through, but who he is in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your truth over Greg's life. Ah, we thank you that you have created him wonderful. He is fearfully and wonderfully made. Lord, we just pray for Sarah right now. Just fill her right now with your joy and your presence and a deep understanding of just how much you love her, Lord Jesus. Lord, for Bindi right now, just fill her with your presence. Ah, Lord, I thank you that overwhelming victory is hers in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you for Julie. Lord, I thank you that she is not defined by what's around her, by her circumstances. She is defined by who she is in Christ. And I pray that great joy would overwhelm her in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, I pray for Marianne right now, Lord, that you would just fill her with your presence. Oh, Lord, I thank you for how much you love her. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just pray for Darren and Mimi right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that they would step out of circumstances, things that are going on around them, and they would step into the fullness of who they are in Jesus Christ. Fill them with your fullness right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we just break the powers of words spoken. We break the powers of circumstances, of things that they've walked through. And we just pray right now, today is a day where they would just know that you are going before them and you fill them with your presence in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we just... Yeah, a huge blessing on Carla. Oh. Carla, I just want to encourage you. The things that God's put on your heart, and there's a sense where I know what you're like. Like if you felt like you're finished, you'd say, "Lord, take me home." But you feel like he's got your assignment's not done. Just walk in the assignment and he will sustain you and he will uphold you. I thank you that this lady's not defined by her circumstances. She's defined by who you are. So strengthen her in her innermost being. Strengthen her in her body. Heal her in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Cass, can I pray for your arm? Would you be bold enough for us to pray for your arm? Oh, Lord, I thank you. You love Cass in an incredibly deep way. Lord, I thank you that she's not defined by what she's walked through, but who she is in Christ. And right now, I just pray that she would just feel your presence, that you would come and bring healing to this arm in Jesus' name. Where you know, that pain that you carry, it gets you down. It's sort of just one of those things that nags. We just pray that would be gone and that you would just bring this arm back to full mobility and you would take that pain away. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage her in her heart, that right now she would just feel your presence. She would feel 100%. Acceptance, the fact that you are with her, that you don't look at her and think, oh, she needs to be this or she should be that your face smiles upon her. So just that she would feel that, she would know that in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Oh, thank you, Lord. Let's just reach out our hands. We're going to pray for a breakthrough for Peter right now. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we just pray that you would fill Peter right now with the joy of your presence. Like there is stuff on him, it feels like it weighs him down. And we just declare that that would drop off him and that he would just be filled with the incredible joy of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that he would, his circumstances, those things that go around him, that they would not get on him, but he would actually, your love and your light would shine through that. Oh, just fill him right now. Bring healing to his body, bring healing to his mind, bring newness and fullness in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. 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 Lord, I pray for clarity for his thinking. I pray that anxiety would lift from him in Jesus' name. And peace, 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 peace right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, shitarapata satatarapata shakara. Lord, I just pray for peace for Tash right now. Peace, peace, peace. It absolutely transcends circumstances. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are Lord of all. You're Lord of her life. You're Lord of her family. You're Lord of her health. You're Lord of her finances. You're Lord of her workplace. And Lord, I pray that all those things would balance in that perspective. In Jesus' name. She would just know that you're with her right now, that you smile upon her. In Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Let's have a seat. If I can just pick up on where we were last week, and I'll just move into something from that. So last week we talked about taking up a kingdom position, and we looked at. We looked at Jonathan, the son of Saul, and his situation wasn't easy because his father was the leader of the nation of Israel. His father was leading an army into attack, but his father had become lost in his own pride and his own fear, and he was absolutely crippled. And Jonathan decides that he's going to take up a different position to his father. And the story is that he leaves where he is and they go and they move out of where they were paralyzed by fear, and they sort of move out into this pass, these rocks between a valley, and they were able to get a different perspective. And they were obviously able to make a surprise attack on the enemy. And who needs energy this morning? And but just before he's going into that, his armor bearer, his servant, or his friend in battle, and 1 Samuel 14, verse 7, and I did talk about this last time, but I just want to start here because I think it's so powerful. So he shares what he's got on his heart. He shares what he believes God has shown him, and he says, you know, maybe we could leave where we are. Maybe we could get out of this position where we feel like we're stuck and we're paralyzed by fear. Maybe we could do that. And who's been in that place? Who's been in a place where you feel like you're stuck? You feel like you're paralyzed by fear and you want something to happen, but you feel like you're stuck. And he's like, well, maybe we could do that. This is what God's shown me. And his armor bearer says to him, 1 Samuel 14, verse 7, he says, do all that you have in mind, his armor bearer said. Go ahead, I am with you, heart and soul. What, what, What absolutely powerful words. Do all that you have in mind. In other words, don't, hey, that's a crazy idea. Maybe this little bit would work, or don't be so stupid, or, you know, come on, get a reality check. He says, no, he says, do all that you have in mind, and I am with you, heart and soul. I am absolutely leaning in. And Alex talked about a conversation that we'd had during the week where we were actually talking about finances and vision for the church and what God is doing. And basically the conversation was, do all that you have in mind because we are with you heart and soul. And who needs to hear those things when you're actually stepping out in God? And I think we could actually be powerful, just not only as where we go together as a church, but when you're talking to somebody and they start to share vision and stuff that is from God, and you're able to say, come on, do what you have in mind, not just you go, I'll follow, but do what you have in mind, I'm with you, heart and soul. It's a really, really powerful thing. And you will find that people lift, people rise, and people step into what God has for them when we do that. And I want to encourage you, we've been sharing about our miracle offering month, and that's what we choose to do over and above our normal tithes and offerings. And of course, what we've been sharing is that we want to complete a building in Nepal. I was talking to a man from Nepal this morning, actually, and we want to complete a building in Nepal, in Napal Gunj, and I don't know if you guys can quickly find the pictures there. Oh, you're awesome, Kirsten. And you can see the guys started there, and they kept going, and they kept going, and they kept going, and they kept going. And they're probably a little bit further than that now. And I said to Pastor Vivek, you know what, how much to get it finished? And he said, oh, about $15,000, and we can get that, you know, basically to functional completion. Well, I think we can do that. We can do that because I can share with you right now that what has been promised and given to this point in our miracle giving, and I know it will continue to build, but we're already at $69,000. That has actually been pledged and given to this point. So, you know, the good thing is I can actually talk to Pastor Vic and say, hey, go ahead, we're with you, heart and soul, do what you have in mind, and we're going to get this building finished. So it's amazing what happens when we listen to God. Of course, the other significant thing is this building here, and we're just hanging out to get to the next stage, and we've been working hard in the last couple of weeks talking to builders and planning to get into the next stage. So the first thing we want to do is get our toilets and amenities built upstairs so that we're able to meet up there while we build down here and turn this into a centre that is a huge blessing to the community, that the cafe over there is going all the time and people are able to have a safe space where they can have God conversations, where they can feel like they're loved and people can meet and actually know that they're not alone. Imagine those conversations. You know, we are with you, heart and soul. You've had a tough week. You've actually, imagine this, just this picture. You know, a single mum who has just gone through a battle of trying to get, you know, three or four kids off to school, and she's at the end of herself. And imagine she drops the kids to school and she thinks, I know what I'm going to do. I'm actually going to come down to your centre and I'm going to get a coffee at that cafe because I'm going to feel that somebody's going to stand with me heart and soul. I'm going to feel like somebody is with me, somebody cares about me, somebody loves me, because there's an atmosphere and environment where that can happen. And stories like that will just, it's happening already. But that will just continue to multiply. You know, we've got a centre here where we can see people trained, we can see people equipped, we can actually put on things that actually move things in the spiritual atmosphere. It also makes the whole centre financially sustainable too. So we're looking forward to that. So this will be a 400-seat auditorium, staged that way. So we're doing that. The other area is our all the sort of stuff that we're doing in the community. A whole lot of great work with schools, great stuff happening in the Derwent Valley, opportunities opening up there. We're believing to see a service rebooted up there, if you like. But at the moment, we're praying up there. We're working with the high schools. We're working with the local council. We're working with the community pantry. And there's a great synergy actually happening at the moment. If you want to be involved, talk to Leonie or Chris and find out what's happening in the valley at the moment. Great things. We've got prayer on there, and Pastor Chris is sick today. We've got prayer on there. We were praying for the valley, 4:30 this afternoon, I think, isn't it? 4, is it? Well, Chris is sick, so I'm going to make sure I'm there. So 4 o'clock at the valley, we're praying for the valley, so I'd love you to join me. So that's what that's all about. Does anybody need one of the... Lizzie, have you got the brochures? If you need one of our Kingdom Giving brochures, I just encourage you. Sometimes you don't know what God's going to do, but it's amazing what happens when you put your name on something and say, Lord, what are you going to show me? How are you going to move me through this? So I encourage you to do that. When we say go ahead, I'm with you heart and soul, we've actually positioned ourselves. We've positioned ourselves so that we can find ourselves in a kingdom position. How can we see position? Position and attitude and all those things are quite similar, isn't it? Like when you know a lot about somebody's attitude by how they position themselves, don't you? And I shared this story the other week. I still remember the conversation that my parents had after going to a parent-teacher interview at high school. I think it was in about grade 7 or 8 or something like that. And the main thing about my position or attitude in relation to being at high school was that I didn't want to be there. As far as I was concerned, there were things that were much more interesting and I would rather be doing than being at high school. And I'm sure I'm not the only particular... some of us have been there, haven't we? The kids are upstairs, so we can be real about this. And so what my friend and I, we would go and we would, remember, we'd go and sit in particular classes and things, and we both didn't particularly want to be at school, and we were thinking about, you know, exciting things like motorbikes and cars and boats and all those sorts of things, and we're at school, so we would sit down the back, and I didn't realise this, I'm a bit too transparent, and we would sit down the back of our class and we'd sort of sit together and our attitude, because of the way we positioned ourselves, you know, our teachers actually found that a little confronting and then they weren't actually enjoying that and our attitude caused us to get into a fair bit of trouble. I remember lots of times thinking, I'm actually going to try and be good today. And I would go into class, I'm going to be good, but perhaps there was an intent to do something different, but the attitude hadn't particularly changed. So you would walk in and the teachers weren't seeing my intent to be good, they were seeing the same attitude that they've been seeing for the last 12 months or whatever. And so very often I'd go into a class and I would be kicked out of the class almost as quickly as I went in. It was so often. I thought, oh, yeah, I'm going to be good today. I'm going to do that. And the next thing, before I knew it, bang, I was at the principal's office, just like that. No, well, that's how I felt at the time. But so much of it was about the way that we positioned ourselves in relation to our attitude. Because essentially the core attitude was, we don't like being at school. Those teachers are trying to make us do stuff that we don't like. So we have an attitude towards them that's not helpful. Now, you've all been there, you get that. But how do we align ourselves with a kingdom attitude? And I did talk about this, and I'll move on from here. But in aviation, they speak about the attitude of an aircraft, and basically what it's saying is where you sit, the nose of the aircraft, in the most part, is where the aircraft goes. So they talk about a nose-up attitude, and basically that means that the aircraft is going to gain elevation because it's got a nose-up attitude, and I don't know a whole lot about aviation, but you know, the drafts and things actually then lift the aircraft and it gains altitude. Or a nose-down attitude means that it descends. Now, interesting thing that they tell me about flying planes is, particularly light aircraft, when you get horrible things where a plane nosedives to the ground, so often it's because there's panic that actually happens, you know, in the pilot. So if a plane goes into a dive, you know, you actually people want to pull back on the stick to actually get the plane up, but what often happens is that it doesn't have enough speed and it stalls. So you've actually got to let it build up some speed to where it can be controlled, and then you can actually position it. And I think sometimes we actually get stuck and we're not able to position ourselves, and we can't get our attitude where we are because we're just thinking, I'm stuck here. But as God starts to move us, He's able then to position ourselves to where we get a kingdom attitude. Where the nose goes is where the plane goes. So, you know, let's position ourselves and get a kingdom attitude. So let me talk about attitude for a bit. And mostly we have, like, I've shared my high school journey and all that, and we can have some really negative connotations about attitude, can't we? You know, we've got a 7 and 9 year old, so we deal with attitude all the time. And often we say, hey, you know, what's your attitude? And that's a really helpful comment, isn't it? It's sort of like if somebody says, hey, what's your attitude? What does your attitude do? You know, you either go into that defensive position or that attacking position or both at once, or can you drop the attitude? But listen to what Paul talks to the Philippians about attitude, and he comes at it a little bit of a different way. This is what I want to focus on this morning. He says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think equality with God was something to cling to. Now, just think about that for a minute. So Jesus is God, the person who spoke the universe into being, has seen stuff that we can't imagine, understands all the mysteries of the universe, understands all this stuff where we see this science stuff and we think, wow, that's amazing. How do they know that? How do they get that? But there's all this stuff that we don't really get. We don't understand what it, you know, we know that the universe is expanding, but we don't know why, we don't know how it all works. There's just so much we don't know. But here's Jesus who knows it absolutely inside out because he created it and he gets it. And it says, even though he was God, he did not think equality with God was something to cling to. Jesus lived a kingdom attitude. He wasn't demanding equality, but positioned himself to serve others. Now, if we want to have a kingdom attitude, I think that's absolutely key in this world that we're in at the moment. Now, how often do we think we've got to demand? We've got to demand our rights. We've got to demand equality. We've got to demand all this stuff. You know, every minority group or whatever is demanding their piece of the pie and equality. Well, how did Jesus do it? Jesus, who was God, didn't think that equality with God was something he had to cling to. So a kingdom attitude or a kingdom posture, it actually positions us to serve rather than demand who we are. So many times you can be somewhere and maybe you hold a title in that place. Like, you know, perhaps you're the boss in your workplace. But, you know, that new person comes in and they don't really know who you are. So they don't show you the respect that they might if they knew you were the boss. Anyone been there like that? Or you know, you're in a position, people don't understand your journey, and they don't. And we've got this human thing that actually feels like we actually need to tell people who we are. Like, do you know who I am? Do you know, if you knew who I was, well, you'd treat me a bit differently. This is what I do. And here's Jesus, the God of the universe, and it's like, you know, people are pulling him down, people are mocking him, people are doing all this stuff, people are calling him a heretic, all that's going on, and he's not all caught up in, well, do you know who I am? He says, no, actually, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve you. So a kingdom attitude or posture positions itself to serve. And demonstrating ultimate humility by laying down his life. That's what Jesus did. That's what it came to serve. Like he did tell people who he was because they needed to know. He said, you know, but he says, I am the Son of Man, meaning, you know, that he was the Christ, but I haven't come to be served, but I came to serve by laying down my life. All right, a kingdom attitude does not demand equality, but it demonstrates humility. A kingdom attitude does not demand equality, but it demonstrates humility. Here's another antidote to the world that we live in. See, our world at the moment is demanding equality, isn't it? Like, I need to be recognised for who I am. I need to be recognised and understood by my race or my sexuality or whatever it is. And I'm not picking on any of those things. I'm just talking about an overarching attitude that says, you know, we must demand equality. Whereas a kingdom attitude, it doesn't demand equality, but it demonstrates humility. It's like that time where somebody comes and you've got a very responsible position. And I've had this lots of times, you know, when we've been running events or conferences and somebody comes in, they don't know who you are and you're so busy, but somebody says, hey, can you show me where the toilet is, or can you get me a cup of coffee, or all those things. And at that moment, you've got an opportunity to say, I'm too busy to do that, or I'm too important to do that, or I can serve you in this moment. He did not think equality with God was something to cling to. Listen to this. I think a kingdom attitude does not cling, but it releases. Yes. A kingdom attitude doesn't cling, but it releases. And so often, we actually, one of the reasons I think we get stuck is that, you know, when I look around this room, and many of us have been through life to a point where, you know, you've actually been through some of the battles, and you get a few things together. It's like, oh yeah, well, like, we've got the house now, and we've got the caravan, and we've got the car, and we've got, I'm not talking to Grant Mullen, and we've got...
I felt like I was hearing from the Lord.
You are. Got the motor... Oh, sorry. Speaking to myself too, Grant. But when, you know, when we're blessed through some of those things, we can actually get to a point where we want to cling and we want to protect what we've got. Or actually we choose to live with an open hand. You see, Jesus said equality with God was not something he was grasping and clinging to, but it was something he had. You see, the more that we actually know that we're blessed, the more that we can actually live with an open hand, because we know that what we have is not dependent on how tight we hold on to it. And because often the more and the tighter you hold on to something, you know, you actually wring the life out of it. You squeeze it. And, you know, we can have our stuff and our things and our situation, and we can be protecting and holding on. But a kingdom attitude says, hey, I'm not clinging to my importance. I'm not clinging to my financial stuff. I'm not clinging to my position. I'm actually wanting to live with an open hand. And if God chooses to change that or do something different, well, I'm actually cool with that.
Yes.
Because it allows blessing to flow through us when we live with an open hand. When we're not clinging to what we've got. See, a kingdom attitude is not a closed fist, but an open hand. There's a story many have probably heard, but there was a way that they used to, maybe it still do, but people would catch monkeys. And what they would do is put things, nuts or whatever that the monkeys wanted, in a jar. And so then they would nail that jar to a bench or something like that. And so the monkeys would come in, and the monkey puts his hand or her hand in the jar, and of course grabs hold of what's in the jar, clenches the fist, and you know the story is that a clenched fist won't come out of the jar. But the monkey is so focused on what is in the fist that the monkey can't open the fist, let the nuts go and escape, and the captors just come and grab the monkey. And sometimes that's actually what happens to us. We are so focused, you know, on what we're clinging to and what's in our hand that we actually paralyze ourselves because we can't actually move. But an open hand, an open heart means that we move to where God needs us. As we live with a kingdom first attitude, I think we live with compassion. Here's the other one that we started off with Jonathan's armor bearer. We live with compassion, we live with agreement and love. We work together for one purpose, the purpose of Jesus Christ, who is all about the redemption of a lost and broken world. So a kingdom attitude, I think, is an antidote to an increasingly divided world. If you follow stuff that's going on in politics at the moment, you just understand how divided we are. How divided we are. It's scary, isn't it? I mean, we don't need to fear it because we know that God is above it all. But it's a bizarre thing that there's this incredible division that's actually kept in. I mean, I remember as I was a kid, we had the Liberal Party and the Labor Party, and you know, one stood for one thing and one for another. But now there's this intense division, and there's almost this hatred between the two. It was like, you know, as I remember, it was a bit more like football teams. You know, you hated one team, but you could tolerate the other one. But it's changed. Our world has changed. And as kingdom people, we have got the antidote to a divided world.
Wow.
And listen to what it says. Paul says, he says, therefore, in Philippians here, if there is any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but to the interests of each other. In your relations with one another, have the same mindset that Christ Jesus had. It goes on to the verse that I was just reading about him not considering equality with God something to be grasped. So Paul asks some rhetorical questions here. Are you? And I want to ask these right now. Are you encouraged in unity?
Yes.
And some of you say yes, some of you say, oh, I'm not sure. But this is the important things. Are you comforted in his love? Are we sharing in the Spirit? Are we feeling the devotion of his compassion? And so Paul knew that the answer was an emphatic yes, and I love the yes we've been getting now. But here's how we take up a kingdom position or a kingdom attitude. It's interesting here. Sometimes when you go back and read something from the King James Version, it's actually hilarious. You see the NIV says, if there is any tenderness and compassion, the King James Version says, if any bowels and mercies. Any bowels and mercies. Yes, it is like that. And the reason is, the ancients believed that the bowels or the stomach, it's just a funny word, isn't it? You know when you go to the doctor and they ask you, yeah, I'm not going there.
What are you doing?
I'll be like Joe Biden. My people will come and get me. He's gone off script again. Well, here's the reason. The ancients believed that the bowels or the stomach area was where a person experienced their deepest feelings. And we get that, don't we? You know, when something is deep, you know, you feel it. You feel it in your gut, or you feel it in those places. And they were sort of saying, well, the experiences of the head were rather shallow. And basically, we sort of get that too, don't we? Because you can understand something. You can have a thought in your mind or your brain. You can have an understanding of what the best thing or the right thing to do. But so often we don't make our decisions out of that place, do we? So often we make much more emotive decisions. We make decisions about what we're feeling and what we have here. And who said, well, this is what I think, but this is my gut feeling and this is what I'm going to do. And I think if we want to have a kingdom attitude, we've actually got to not have the kingdom just in our head, but we've got to have the kingdom in our heart. We've got to have the kingdom in our gut. We've got to actually feel it and know that it's there. Because, you know, you will be challenged. You'll be challenged in your head. You will actually see stuff and it's like, oh, is that right or is that wrong or this is going on or that's going on. But you know what? When you actually have taken on board that kingdom presence and attitude and you are filled with the Spirit and you wear it in here, it's like, yeah, you don't park your brain. You don't do things that are wrong. But there are times that to go forward, we have got to have a kingdom attitude that we carry deeply inside us.
been cooking,
guys. We expect something good in a minute. I'm nearly done. So this is how we align ourselves with that. He says, be like-minded, loving with Christ's love. Being one in spirit, one in mind, laying down selfish ambition or vanity in humility, value others above yourself. This stuff's easy to say. Look for the interests of others. In relationships, have the same mindset that Christ Jesus had. And I'll finish with this. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. And so this is it's perhaps the second step to real unity. And basically, what he's saying here is you know, that vanity or vain conceit is thinking too highly about yourself or of yourself or having excessive self-interest. And we've all been there at times, haven't we? It's a natural human position to want to look after yourself. And then we all know those people. That, you know, you go and have a conversation with them, what do they talk about? talk about themselves. And they tell you all these things that are happening. And I'm not trying to be critical of that, because we've got to love people where they're at. But basically, the kingdom position is be honest. Know who you are in Christ and know what you have. And you have it because who of Christ is, not who you are. And so let's not think of ourselves more highly than we ought. Understand where we sit. And let's not have excessive self-interest. Or it could be more literally translated, you know, don't seek after empty glory. So a dictionary definition is having an exceedingly favourable opinion of one's own ability and importance. I think we're working against unity, as Paul said, you know, when we're not willing to lay ourselves down. And if I'm willing to consider others above me, then something incredible happens in me. We have a community where everyone is looked up to and nobody's looked down on. Isn't that incredible? If I'm willing to consider you above me, well then everybody is looked up to and nobody is looked down on. I'm not talking about making yourself a doormat or a victim. It's about a kingdom attitude or position where you position yourself like Jesus did, where you will actually be looking up to people and considering what they need rather than self. And we get this incredible sense of an empowered community when we decide to live like that. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think equality with God was something to cling to. Come on, in our relationships, in our position, let's have that mindset. Let's take up a kingdom position in our attitude. Bron and Pete, I think I just want to encourage you in some of this. I know from stuff you've told me, but this is what I feel in the spirit. Where there's, it feels like you've had years of struggle, years of things not really aligning or being there. And I think that you are where you are because of the fact that you've chosen. You've chosen in the struggle. You've chosen where things don't align. You've actually chosen to honour Christ. You've chosen to make him Lord even when stuff's not feeling like it's working. But I believe now in a sort of, there's a sense of the Spirit where I just feel like he wants to say, look, there's something of the struggle that is falling off. Life doesn't suddenly become easy, but you know, there's just doing it, and then there's just always a struggle. He's saying, look, the struggle is going to come off, and as you align in the Lordship of Christ, as you align in what he has for you, it's like the struggle goes, and you're going to walk in that. And honestly, your best days are ahead of you. And I know you're making decisions at the moment. I don't have a word on whether you're supposed to be here or over there. But I do know that as you choose to keep Jesus as Lord and you choose to walk in that there is something of the struggle that will fall off, and you're going to both find yourselves in a kingdom alignment, an alignment together in your marriage and your family. So just seek that kingdom position. And even those verses from Philippians right now, just take those to heart, and you'll be amazed at what God does. Andrew, I just want to encourage you. I mean, you've been such a great friend to Alex and I, you and Fiona. And you've been an amazing servant to this house. And you would, your position is that you would serve to the last bone. You would serve to there's nothing left to do. But I just believe that you're coming into a season where it's not about all the things that you do. It's not about being here, being there, and bringing your skill and all that stuff. I think that's important. That's who we've got. But there's a sense of just being. And what I'm reminded of right now is when John was writing in his epistle, and he said, you know, there are not many fathers. He says, I write to you young men, and I write to you fathers, where people will actually stand and sit in actually who they are. And there's a security, and there's something that flows from that. And I think that's going to be part of your business, that's going to be part of your ministry, that's going to be part of what he has you are. That he's saying there is a season of being and allowing that. I don't know what that means in decisions that you actually make, but what I do know is he's probably not asking you to be flogging yourself, but he's asking you to be. And he will bless you in that. He will do more in the season ahead than what he's done to this point. You can test him in that. Hey, Dale. I'm trying to close the service. I just want to speak joy over you right now. You've turned my mourning into dancing, my sorrows into joy. And there's a story in the Old Testament about King David. And the baby, the first baby born of Bathsheba, got sick and ultimately died. And he mourned that child. And he mourned it, and he mourned it, particularly before the child died, because it was obviously inevitable what was going to happen. And he was in that place where he mourned, and they did that very publicly. And then there was a sense where he said, I'm going to trust this to God. And he got up and he put on different clothes. And it's not that he wouldn't have felt that anymore, but he assumed, he actually went from a position of mourning to assume the position of who he was. He went from a mourning father to a king. And he stepped back in to being king. And as you've walked through stuff, you know, that sense, and you know, I just believe he's saying, you know, it's time you get up, you dress yourself, and you assume who you are. That you're a son of the Most High God. You're a person with a calling on your life, and I have got incredible things for you. And I think for a season, it's like every morning you get up, you're going to dress yourself, and you'll say, this is who I am. And you'll be amazed at what changes. Father, we thank you for Dio. And we thank you that you have a new season for him. In Jesus' name. Amen. If anyone's here this morning and talking about having a kingdom attitude, we actually can't have a kingdom attitude without taking up the ultimate kingdom position. That's to understand that we can't fix things in ourselves. None of us can. the only fixer that we actually have is Jesus Christ. And He actually has given all of us the opportunity to come to Him like a child. There's a story that Alex's family tells. And Alex's dad, he's probably online, if you're here, Des, but he's a great fixer. He's a great with his hands. And one day, one of Alex's sisters accidentally broke an egg as a small child. And she gathered the egg up and she took it back to Des, my father-in-law, and she said, "Daddy, fix." And of course, we know that Daddy couldn't fix an egg. But sometimes we've just got to come to Jesus and He's waiting for you. His Daddy will fix. He will take your brokenness and He will bring it together and He will fix. But it requires the humility to come to Him like a child, just with what you have, with your stuff and your brokenness, and allow Him to fix. And if that's you this morning, maybe you've prayed a prayer like this, maybe you haven't, but you know you've got to come to Him this morning. We'll just bow our heads, close our eyes for a moment. I'll give you an opportunity to come to Jesus. When He died on that cross, He died for your brokenness, for your sin, for your stuff. And He actually just wants you to come to Him, accept that, commit yourself to Him, and He will take your brokenness and He will give you a wholeness and a security that nothing else can. If that's you, just if you're online, just give us a message, direct message. If you're here in the building, just slip your hand up. Say, "That's me, Dave. I need to do that." Anybody here that's, you know, you might have prayed a prayer like this once, but you just got to come to Him this morning. If that's you, just slip your hand up where you are. So that's me. Awesome. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank You that You are Lord. You are God. And I thank You that You died for me. Right now, I accept Your love. I ask for Your forgiveness. And I ask You to come into my heart. I'm sorry for my sin. From this day forward, I choose to follow You. Amen. If you're online, please send us a direct message if you engage with that prayer. We'd love to get in contact with you. Even if you didn't give me a wave and you want to talk some more about that, we'd love to do that. The band are going to lead us, and service is closed after that. We're finished. But if you need prayer, if anything we've talked about this morning, you're saying, "I need a kingdom position," we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to engage with you in that place. But God bless you. Have a fantastic week. And let's go out and stand with a kingdom position and a kingdom attitude, and we'll be amazed at what God does. Still fast, my soul.